Welcome back to In the Moment. I'm Lori Walsh. It's an epic road trip to see the nation's National Park Service sites. It's a tribute to his father, though his father died before it began. And it's a chance to plant the rainbow flag across the country. Micah Meyer is an adventurer, an LGBT Christian advocate, and the son of former SDSU ELCA minister Larry Meyer. His world record road trip to all 417 National Park Service sites is underway. And he is coming to South Dakota this weekend to share his story. He joins us now on the phone. Micah Meyer, welcome to the program. Thanks for being here.
Hi, thanks so much for having me.
All right, let's start at the beginning of this trip, because road trips were important to your dad, but you didn't necessarily get to take the kind of road trips with him that you would have had he had lived longer than he did.
No, I didn't. My three older sisters actually always share that their favorite memories of him were when he would drive them to and from college, and they really got to know him as an adult, which makes sense. He was good with kind of this 18 to 25 age frame, because at one point he won the award for being the best Lutheran campus pastor in the country. So I was really looking forward to those road trips, and because he passed away when I was 19, I never got them.
Mm. All right. So how soon after his death do you sort of make the connection between, remembering him and celebrating him, honoring him, thinking about him, and really being on the road yourself?
It was just a few days. I had never experienced the death of someone close to me until him, and I honestly didn't know what to do. Mm. And so he was a big fan of road trips, and the only thing that made sense seemed to be to climb into his hail-battered Hyundai Elantra and take my first ever independent road trip, which actually included Sioux Falls and Brookings as the first two stops.
And the car at that point even smelled like, I mean, it was like it was very, very fresh and raw.
I mean, it smelled of his pipe. It had his sunflower seeds all over the floor, and I used his Atlas as my guide. This was pre-GPS days. So it was very much remembering him.
Yeah. And for some people, that would have been such a painful trip, and I'm sure it was painful for you too, but some people would have walked away and said, I'm rejecting this part because it's just too hard. You instead continue to go deeper and deeper into this notion of travel. How come?
It was mostly the magic that I experienced on that first road trip. I mean, most people would hear of going to Sioux Falls and Brookings and Minnesota and not think it was anything glamorous. But over that week of that initial experience, I healed in ways that I don't think would have happened if I had stayed in the same city that had been chemo and radiation and death for the past 3 years.
Yeah.
And so it was recognizing this power of putting oneself in a different physical space and how that can alter our mental status that made me realize that this was something special, and I wanted to do something every year for him too, because he passed away at age 58 and never got to do retirement road trips. So I wanted to do something every year around the time of his passing to honor the road trips that he wouldn't get.
All right. Well, this particular road trip that you're on is a little more than a road trip. It's a quest, a world record setting quest, potentially. Mm-hmm. Tell us about how you sort of settled on this idea of seeing national park sites. All of them.
Yeah. So I'd done one road trip every year for my dad, and kind of along the way found that most of my peers thought they were guaranteed to live to 80. And so I decided when I turned 30, I wanted to do something nuts, something absolutely crazy, to try to get everyone's attention and share this lesson I had learned that tomorrow's not guaranteed, in a way that was less hard than I had to learn it. And over those annual road trips over the years, I'd been to just 10 National Park Service sites, but they were some of the most amazing places I'd seen in America. And so I decided that when I turned 30, I was going to go see all of them. And then I found out that all of them wasn't just the 59 national parks that most people think of, but over 400 sites that our National Park Service manages that often have different designations like National Monument, National Seashore, just for political reasons, not having anything to do with how wondrous they are.
Right. All right. So what are you learning about who we are as Americans as you go? And you're spending, I think it's important, you're not just you know, putting a pin in the map or checking it off or grabbing a brochure. You're planning which ones are going to take, you know, more time than others. You're researching, like, okay, in order to be here and really experience it, I might have to be somewhere for a week. You might have to be somewhere for 3 weeks, or maybe it's just a day. But what my question is, you know, what are you learning about who we are as a country as you sort of have all this time to think about it?
Well, what's really fascinating is that the year I turned 30, 2016, also happened to be the 100th anniversary of the National Park Service.
Right.
And 2016 also has been a very divisive year for us politically as Americans. And so it's been really fascinating to drive around the country while the election lead up was happening and during the election and post-election, and kind of looking at my fellow Americans and people of all diverse backgrounds from every state and territory and seeing who they are and how they act. And I think the beautiful thing about this journey is that it has taught me, as much as everyone talks about how different we are and how divided we are and we're red states and blue states, and rural and urban, et cetera, that we are so much more similar than the media talks about. And we really, when it comes down to it, every single human I've met across the country, every decision they make, every word they say, all comes back to a desire to love others and be loved in return. So I think when we remember that, instead of looking at our labels that make us different, then it's so much easier to find our shared humanity.
Right. And red states, blue states to the rainbow nation. So talk a little bit
about
and loving and being loved in return. Talk about the decision and the process to you know, talk to people and show people on Instagram and your social media sites, you know, here I am at this place and I'm wrapped in the rainbow flag, which is a symbol of gay pride. And, you know, people reaching, here I am outdoors, you know, traipsing through stuff. And this is how a gay man lives in America, or at least how this gay man lives in America. What's that process been like to really put that part of yourself out there and then hear from people who are inspired by it?
It was really terrifying at first, to be honest. I began this journey recognizing that there had never in the history of the outdoors industry been an openly LGBT person in any ad, and they'd never had any sort of Pride Month ad. And so sort of the industry that I was representing was very not open to LGBT people. And at the same time, I started this journey with only $150 amount of money to finish it and knew I'd have to sort of crowdfund my way. And I thought, gosh, you know, if in our divided country, if people know I'm gay, there's no way that they'll want to support this project. And really everything changed for me about 9 months in when I got an Instagram message from someone who said, I'm 15 years old and I go to a private Baptist school in Texas and I'm not out of the closet to anyone. But I Googled you and I read about you that you're gay and you're a pastor's son. And I just want to thank you because now I know when I grow up, I can be ordinary.
Oh, boy.
And then he said, I see you're setting world records. And now I know when I grow up, I can be extraordinary. And it just sort of changed everything for me. And I said, I need to throw any personal potential financial benefit out the window. And I need to be the role model for this kid and for 10-year-old me and for everyone around the world that I've continued to get messages from who has never seen an openly gay outdoorsman or never seen an openly gay Christian. And the rainbow flag and the photos I take with America's most iconic National Park Service sites are a quick way to show that visually to people, to say, here's someone who's proud of who they are, who loves something that maybe isn't stereotypically something you'd expect a gay person to do, and is sharing that with the world so that people can feel more comfortable being themselves.
I want to talk a little bit about some of the events you have or the places you'll be in South Dakota. So Saturday, September 15th, and Sunday, September 16th. That's Saturday at 5:30 and Sunday morning at 8:30 and 11. You'll be in Brookings as a guest preacher at Ascension Lutheran Church. And then Sioux Falls, an evening with Micah Meyer, Sunday, September 16th at 6:30 at Our Savior's Lutheran Church. So as you do this, and your father was a pastor, and now all of a sudden you're in ministry, and and that's a surprise for you. When did you sort of realize, oh, okay, you know, this is an actual, my dad would have called this a ministry?
Well, my whole life, I swore I'd never become a minister because as a pastor's kid, that's like the one question everyone asks you is, are you going to grow up and be a pastor like your dad? And I always just said, heck no. And it was so fascinating because right around the time that I got that message from that kid, I was also running out of money and was going to have to quit the trip. And so I sort of felt this call to be this role model, but also was facing the reality that I couldn't stay on the road. And at that exact same time, a friend of mine who is a pastor in Florida said, when you come to Florida, you darn well better sing at my church, because I've been a professional singer for the past decade. And he said, not only are you going to sing for our church, but I know you're struggling to stay on the road, so we're going to put a basket out and make sure we get you to the next park. You're going to sing for your supper. And I showed up to church that day, and during the first reading, he said, for the homily, I'm going to have you preach today. And I'm thinking, excuse me? And he said, yeah, you know, just tell them about your journey and about growing up in the church and tie it into the gospel. You'll be fine. Mm. And sort of by being thrust into that after the service, people came up to me crying and they said, you know, my niece is a lesbian, my uncle is transgender, or I'm gay, and I never thought I'd hear my story in those words from the pulpit. Mm-hmm. And so really, from that first service, that pastor told another pastor in town they had to have me, and they called somebody in Tampa who called somebody in New Orleans, and basically for the past year and a half now, I've been more or less preaching at a different church around the country every Sunday, singing for my supper, and America's Christians have not only allowed this gay man to pursue a world record, which is a total Jesus flipping the script story, but it's birthed this ministry of really showing people that their image of what a gay Christian might be or their image of what a gay man might be is something negative, that there is something positive about that, and they can look at that with hope.
Tell me about the in-between places. As you go from destination to destination, there's also a whole lot of in-between. What have you sort of discovered serendipitously as you, you know, something that wasn't on the map that you were headed to, but on the way you found this?
So I've always been a big wanderlust. I kind of assume that the answers to everything is somewhere out there. Mm. And what this journey has really taught me is, while I spend every day literally staring at America's most beautiful natural locations, they don't mean a darn thing if you don't have anyone to share them with. Hmm. And so this project has really taught me the value of interpersonal relationships, and that what matters more than staring at a beautiful sunset is who's sitting next to you, who you get to share that experience with, and who you get to create those memories with. So the in-between spaces and the spaces themselves have really made me want to focus, when this trip is done, on my personal life and cultivating friendships and relationships that ultimately I think are the most important thing we have in the world.
Yeah. All right, we've got about a minute left. Give us some tips for hitting a road trip and having it go well. What are some of the sort of the hacks that you've discovered for if you're going to drive across the country? This helps a lot to know.
Well, probably one of the biggest plugs I can make is just to not assume that the places you've heard about are the best places. I am doing a whole ranking of all 417 National Park Service sites, and people always freak out when I tell them some of my favorites, because they include Badlands National Park in South Dakota and Theodore Roosevelt National Park in North Dakota and Dinosaur National Monument on the border of Utah and Colorado and so many places that aren't, you know, the Yosemites and Grand Canyons and are some of the most incredible places in our country that just don't have the publicity that others do. So definitely don't be afraid to look beyond the magazine cover spaces, you know, search out for those things, maybe in your own backyard that you've always overlooked because they're close. And, you know, don't assume that there isn't adventure in your own home state, wherever you live.
All right. Tell us how to follow you on social media. Where is the best spot for people to connect who are listening now?
So you can find everything at micahmeyer.com. That's MikahMeyer.com. And that'll take you to my Facebook page, which has my events tab with all my South Dakota appearances this weekend. That'll take you to my Instagram, where you can see the entirety of America from a smartphone in your palm. Or that'll take you to my YouTube, where you can see videos I've made of all these incredible places our country has to offer, and hopefully find the place that you want to enjoy one of your next days off from work, and, you know, find a friend, find a relative, find someone you care about, and just go experience these places, because that is honoring my trip and honoring my dad and honoring this amazing country we live in.
Michael Meyer, thank you so much. We appreciate your time.
Thank you.
He will be in Brookings on Saturday the 15th and Sunday the 16th at Ascension Lutheran Church, in Sioux Falls at Our Savior's Lutheran Church on Sunday, September 16th at 6:30 p.m.